Welcome to But For Real, a variety show podcast co-hosted by two therapists who also happen to be loudmouth feminists. I'm Valerie, your resident elder millennial child-free cat lady.
And I'm Emerson, your resident chronically online Gen Z brat. And on the show, we'll serve up a new episode every other week that will take you on a wild ride through the cultural zeitgeist, mental health, and beyond.
You'll definitely laugh and TBH sometimes maybe cry a little because this is a silly and serious show.
Buckle up, my friends, and let's get into today's episode.
Okay, if y'all have ever done the math in your head, had coffee at 9, so I'm going to have to pee at 9:15, again at 9:35, this episode is for you. We are talking pelvic floors, what they actually do, why just do your Kegels is possibly terrible advice, and why something can be super common and still not be a normal thing you just need to put up with forever. Dr. Jen Lakogeek is here, and she's a pelvic floor PT. She's about to make you very aware of muscles you did not know you were clenching. Let's get into it. Today, we are interviewing Dr. Jen Lakogeek, a pelvic health therapist with over 15 years of experience. She's the founder of Nashville Pelvic Health and is passionate about whole person and trauma-informed care. Welcome to But For Real, Jen.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yay, we're so excited you're here. Okay, let's kick off with our tea and crumpets, which is basically the things that we can't shut up talking about to everybody, much to their dismay, or not. Mm-hmm. Mine is doing analog Sudokus. Sudokus? It's I'm Gen Z, I can't talk. So I didn't do anything crazy. I just went to the dollar store and bought a little book. And I was like, hey, it's kind of fun.
Do you feel like you're from the 1900s?
Bad. I feel like I'm having a 90s morning. I have the TV on in my kitchen. My kids are about to come eat Eggo waffles. Like, it feels very like... Like, I'm doing it in the back of the newspaper, you know, and I'm very... I'm just enjoying doing them poolside. A good little, like, brain teaser. Mm-hmm. No, I've been out of school for 3 years now.
Yes. It's my third...
Yeah. 3 years. See, I'm scared. I'm losing my brain, so I need to be doing more brain teasers to make sure I stay sharp.
I love it. Do a Sudoku or a crossword. It's good for your brain.
Mm. Val, what about you?
Well, I wouldn't be me if I weren't starting or quitting something.
Well, yes. So,
I feel like I'm just spending time with my good friend Discernment. Mm. You know, I mentioned recently restarting some old favorites and then also, but like wanting to make sure, am I doing this for the right reasons? The guitar, she is collecting dust.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to be really okay with that. Okay. Like, you know what? Yeah, I went into this like maybe this time will be different, but also maybe not.
Okay.
And turns out that is not what I want to be doing. And also, this was like a really big deal for me because I discovered this yoga thing, this training. And I was like, I'm going to go to India next February for 30 days. And I'm going to make this my entire personality. And I was this close to signing up for
it. Oh, I know you were.
Oh, I was. And I, you know, put out ye old 2-page Google Doc of bullet points. And I was like, actually, I think I'm not doing this for the right reasons. So I'm not going to do it. And I'm so proud of myself.
I'm proud of you. That's big for you, Val. Okay. Jen?
Yes.
What about you?
Well, professionally, I can't shut up about the connection of the pelvic floor and the nervous system.
Mm.
And I'm sure we're going to like get into that a little bit today. But I find this like, I find it so fascinating that bi-directional mind body, how our mind can affect what's happening in our body and what is happening in our body can affect what's happening in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then personally, yes. I cannot shut up about how dog friendly Asheville is.
Ooh.
I just went to Asheville last weekend and my dog had the weekend of her life.
Oh, I love this.
Yes.
Oh my God. I just saw, I don't know if it was, what's the one Simon Cowell's currently, is it America's Got Talent?
I don't know.
I saw some clip. And sorry, the dog thing took me there. And it was like this woman doing Scars to Your Beautiful,
Alessia Parra.
It was doing a dance with her dog to that song.
Oh,
so it's like training, but also like beautifully fluid. And I am obsessed. I'll have to send it to you guys later.
It's like Dr. Shock.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm envisioning your dog like frolicking and dancing in this
1,000%. Yes.
I love it.
Your dog is dancing at the Biltmore.
Oh my God.
Okay. And now it's time for Step Into My Office, where we do a little advice from a listener submish. And this one says, Dear Emerson, Val, and Jen, I am a 34-year-old woman, and I know more about public bathroom locations than I know about my own pelvic floor. I don't drink much water when I'm going somewhere because I already have to go to the bathroom too damn often as it is, but then I'm worried I'm not as hydrated as I should be. I use the Run Pee app so I know ahead of time when to go to the bathroom at the movie theater. If I laugh too hard, sneeze, cough, or do anything that resembles exercise, I better be prepared. I've never had kids, so I always assumed pelvic floor problems weren't really something I needed to think about yet. But it's so embarrassing that I'm only 34, and I feel like I've just started planning my life around my bladder. I don't know if what I'm experiencing qualifies as a problem because I've never been in pain, and it doesn't seem serious enough to bring up with anyone. It's just annoying. At what point does annoying become something I should actually get checked out? Sincerely, BRB, gotta pee. Thoughts?
Yes, what a good question. I do think it is such a misconception that people think, like, if I haven't had a baby, I won't have pelvic floor dysfunction.
Yeah.
But just so everyone knows, pelvic floor dysfunction is incredibly prevalent. 1 in 3 women experience pelvic floor dysfunction, and tons of men also. Mm. So you can definitely have pelvic floor issues without having had a baby. As far as like frequency and urgency, that's like one of the most common things that we see. Mm. Sometimes that can be a pelvic floor issue, actually, with the pelvic floor muscles being too tight. Mm. So this is a great example of why Kegels are not the answer for everyone.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can also be behavioral. We can kind of get into these habits. And when we take ourselves to the bathroom all the time, our bladder can start to send us more frequent and urgent signals. And we can kind of create this like cycle.
Feedback loop.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes also like food and drink can contribute. And actually restricting water intake can sometimes make problems worse. Mm. So there's sort of a whole gamut of ways that we might approach this problem. And I would say like as far as getting help, nothing is too minor. Like if it's bothering you and it's interfering with your life, get help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Cool. Anything you'd add?
I mean, I'm not a pelvic therapist. I do the mind, baby.
Well, and I think the piece that you were saying about sort of the psychological behavioral part of it is like, what's great about the collaboration between your people and our people is like you can see if there's anything actually organically going on in the body that needs to be addressed. And then we can handle the part of it of like how much of this is the preoccupation and sort of this like feedback loop that you're creating in your brain and how much of that needs to be like kind of relaxed.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I think it also brings up this interesting point again, of this mind-body connection of a lot of these pelvic health concerns. This sounds like it's disrupting life, but even if it's not disrupting life, it creates this chronic worry loop where you're like always thinking about it and your attention is always being diverted. This like chronic anticipatory stress of like, where's the bathroom going to be? Am I going to have to get up in the middle of the movie?
Yeah. Right.
Mm. From the flip, clinically, like my vaginismus is girly, so we're talking about that like mental when things so tight. Yep. And then for my like hypnosis, chronic pain people, a lot of my like Crohn's, IBS folks, like similar to this listener, just feeling like I always have to know where the bathroom is.
Yep.
Having adjacency to a bathroom is running my life instead of enjoying being at the concert or enjoying being at the dinner with friends. So it's one that I think, like you're saying, a lot of people deal with for pelvic reasons or for like the other disorders or things like that. But it's, I don't know, like being a human is embarrassing enough. And then we're all like, oh my God, peeing and pooping is weird. So like, so then we're also, you know, everyone's holding so much shame about having to go to the bathroom because you don't want to like, you know, feel weird, but it's not. It's like normal. It's a normal function.
Yeah. And then it's so taboo, you don't talk about it. So then you feel isolated. Like, am I the only person that this is happening to? So, I mean, that's where, if in doubt, it's good just to reach out and get some help and have an assessment and help someone let you know. Because we also don't know, like, what's normal and what's not normal all the time. So just so everybody knows, if you're peeing more often than every 2 hours, that's not normal.
Okay.
But it is common.
Mm. Well, listener, keep listening. Hopefully there's some tidbits from Jen throughout this and you're not alone, of course. Okay, let's hop on over to our DSM. And in this DSM, all versions of dysfunctions, spirals, and meltdowns are welcome. Of course, it's all of our little questions for Jen today, talking about, you know, pelvic floor, PT, therapy, all of the things and everything in between. So, Val, if you want to kick us off.
Yeah. Well, so, like, we've already kind of started talking about how people tend to restrict their thinking about the pelvic floor to, like, oh, well, if you don't have, like, specific genital pain or pregnancy, bladder leaks, whatever, then this is, you don't need to think about this, right? Mm-hmm. And probably that's not true. So it affects a lot of areas of our health. And for someone who's just, like, maybe even been lucky enough to not have to think about this, about their pelvic health before, what exactly is our pelvic floor doing for us? And what kinds of problems can that dysfunction actually cause?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think first off, like, what is the pelvic floor is maybe a good question to answer. So inside of our pelvis, we have this network of muscles, and there's lots of individual muscles, like over 20 of them. Mm-hmm. But as a group, we just refer to them as the pelvic floor. And they do a lot of important things for us. So they help with our bladder and bowel control. They're very important for our sexual function. And then they're also really involved in our core stability and our hip stability systems. So when we see folks coming in for pelvic floor dysfunction, it really can present as a wide array of symptoms. So it may be something like the woman who wrote in is having, like, frequent and urgent bathroom trips. We see folks, constipation is a huge one that can be caused by pelvic floor dysfunction, pain with sex and intimacy. And then we also work with a lot of chronic pelvic pain. So that could really present as low back pain or hip pain or bladder pain. And then, you know, we see the male patients too. Yeah. So a lot of these pelvic floor conditions can be caused by muscles that are too tight. So a lot of men who've been diagnosed with chronic prostatitis might actually have a pelvic floor dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Also, after surgical procedures, men can often have issues with incontinence, and obviously women can have issues after surgical procedures as well. Yeah. And then we see a ton of pregnant and postpartum women looking to, like, help prepare their bodies for childbirth and then recover from that process as well.
I really love that you use the phrase, like, common, but not normal, right? Like, trying to go in between that. And I think because so many people, but especially women, have just been told to accept, like, oh, yeah. I think of my own mom, like, oh, you kids, okay, that's why I can't, like, laugh because I'm going to pee and all these things, which, like, yes, totally. But even just, like, when it's, like, pelvic pain, or another thing that I talk to a lot of people about as a sex therapist, like, you know, in training is like, hey, like, sex, like, shouldn't be painful all the time. That's not normal. So, you know, feeling different about having a baby, your body's different, constipation. What are some of the things that people unnecessarily suffer through because they don't realize or they don't know that pelvic floor or PT could actually be helpful?
There are the things that aren't as disruptive, like, oh, I'm peeing when I exercise and I'll just, like, deal with it. But, like, honestly, if it keeps you from running or lifting heavy weights, that has a pretty big impact long term. Or the people who are, like, going to the bathroom all the time and it's annoying, but maybe not debilitating. And they're just like, I'm not going to seek help for this, where really there are good ways to be able to address some of those problems. But then we can also get into the chronic pelvic pain, where these people, like, just can't find answers. You know, when we think about the pelvis and we think about, like, maybe somebody who's having bladder dysfunction, they might go to the urologist, and the urologist is going to take a very, like, organ-based approach to that problem. Or if they're having pelvic pain, they might go to the gynecologist, and they're going to look at the ovaries and the uterus. And so a lot of times within the pelvis, these symptoms get siloed, and our medical system doesn't do a great job of putting all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. So then we have people who are just, you know, suffering with pelvic pain or pain with intercourse, and they don't even realize that pelvic floor therapy could be something that helps with a lot of these different symptoms that are going on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the damn Kegels.
Okay.
since do your Kegels, whatever the fuck it is, is basically
potato, the extent
of most people's pelvic floor education.
Yes.
Is a stronger pelvic floor always healthier, or is it possible, you kind of alluded to this earlier, that someone can have a pelvic floor that is too tight or overactive?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, like all things in life, we want a good balance. So we do want strong muscles because they help support our pelvic organs and they're part of our core and our hip stability systems. But we also want muscles that are flexible and can relax. Mm-hmm. So let's use maybe a metaphor of someone with TMJ. A lot of times that problem is because they're clenching their muscles. If you clench your pelvic floor muscles all the time, that's going to create problems of pain, again, maybe like frequency and urgency of urination, maybe constipation. So yes, we want a strong, healthy, functioning pelvic floor, but we also need to have balance in the system where those pelvic muscles can go into rest mode and also be able to stretch and be flexible for things like intercourse or being able to absorb impact with running. So sort of as pelvic floor therapists, like we're happy when the pelvic floor gets good press. And so, you know, people bringing awareness to maybe doing pelvic floor muscle exercises to strengthen your pelvic floor, we're like, great. And also, that's not the only component to a healthy pelvic floor.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. So I was at the Stimulate conference last week, and it's a sexual wellness, lots of brands, retailers, wellness professionals of all angles from that sort of industry. And one of the products, actually it won like the Innovation Award, I think, was this product called the V-Fit. And I wanted to just tell you about it and be like, what do you think?
Okay,
so it's made by this company, Joylux. It looks like this, like just sort of like a
little vibrator
dildo with like a little red light piece there. And so it's using that photobiomodulation of red light therapy. There's a little warmth and then a little vibrating, which like is in this case, not necessarily just intended for pleasure. It's the vibration plates or whatever that are supposedly good for you. So in terms of like, I don't know, tissue regeneration, where was the little graphic here? Sonic technology mode, et cetera, et cetera. And so actually we were at this event with a PT who was not pelvic floor focused. And we were kind of asking, does this check out? Like, what do you think? And of course they were like, well, the quote unquote studies they've done, which are more like, I mean, not big enough to really be called studies. Setting that aside, we can maybe assume that some of the benefits that we see from photobiomodulation of red light therapy for skin tissue regeneration or recovery or whatever could transfer, but we don't know yet. So I'm curious, like, what is your thought on this idea of the V-Fit?
Yeah. So I do think the pelvic floor is getting a lot of press in recent years. And like, I don't love social media, but social media has been great about women increasing their awareness around pelvic floor disorders. So I think we're going to see more and more tech and gadgets coming out. So always like proceeding with caution.
Yep.
I don't know about this device specifically, but I do know like some of my mentors in the field are like really getting into the red light therapy. So like maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about pelvic floor health, we are talking about the muscle health, but then we're also talking about the vulvovaginal tissue. And so especially for women who are starting to have hormonal changes in that tissue, maybe like perimenopause, menopause, also right after childbirth. And for some women, women who've been on oral contraceptives for long periods of time, we see changes in that tissue where it thins. And then it can get like dry and stingy and burny and not tolerate the friction of intercourse well. So I could see it potentially being really helpful for that. And then vibration, I mean, obviously can feel really good, but also vibration can be good for like the nerve health. So if you have nerves that are like a little hypersensitive, the vibration can help sort of those nerves settle down and calm down over time.
I'm just like, okay, this thing's like $400.
I was about to say.
I mean, maybe it's like, seems like maybe for people who have the disposable income, could be could a little nice add-on to your daily self-care regimen. 10 minutes with your V-Fit.
I'm like, it's the
hashtag V-Fit. Not sponsored.
V-Fit. Let us know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I always look shit on those like morning shed videos where people are like, they like take off like eight face masks and like the jaw thing. I'm like, so now it's the red light mask and it's the V-Fit at the same time. Like if that's how you reach your final form, I think.
Your final
red light therapy form.
What I don't love though are the devices that claim to like cure all your pelvic floor problems by just doing some electrical stimulation. Because again, the muscles being able to contract is only like part of one aspect.
Yeah. Piece of the pie.
Connected to a bigger system. So.
Okay. Jen, you work with people dealing with pelvic pain, yes, but the pain isn't always actually in the pelvis, right?
Yep.
How can pelvic floor be connected to things like our lower back, hip pain, the core stability? I've heard a lot about like working out, sure, bowel and bladder, or even sexual health. Anything else that you want to hit on in there?
Yeah, definitely. So it's a very complex area of the body. So, of course, you could be having, like, if you're experiencing pelvic pain, it could be because of, like, the muscles or the nerves that are in that area. But also, when we think about our spine, that's where the nerves come out that go to the rest of our body. So sometimes low back issues might cause pain in the pelvis. The pelvic floor muscles also directly attach to the sacrum, the tailbone, the hip joints. Mm. So that's where a pelvic floor problem could cause a hip issue, or a hip issue could cause a pelvic floor problem. So a lot of times we'll get people referred to our clinic, maybe who've been having like chronic low back pain or chronic hip pain. They haven't been responding to typical treatment. And so they're there to get their pelvic floors assessed. There's actually a really high correlation of low back pain and pelvic floor dysfunction being present for women.
Interesting.
Damn. And then you can also get referred pain from the organs as well. It's all connected.
Never-ending complexity. Wow. So obviously you mentioned pregnancy and postpartum as two of the biggest sort of life phases in which people suddenly become aware of their pelvic floor and the issues that can arise. But I think there's also that tendency to hear like, oh, well, you had a baby, so of course you're going to pee when you run now. What do you wish every woman knew about pelvic floor health during pregnancy and postpartum? And is it ever too late to address problems that started in those eras a long time ago?
I feel like I'm hearing more and more people saying like, oh, I wish I'd done pelvic floor after I had a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like even moving the timeline up of like doing pelvic floor therapy when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're starting to see more evidence that we can pick out some risk factors that might lead to traumatic childbirths.
Wow.
Things like a really tight pelvic floor, or not being able to coordinate how to like push properly or coordinate good breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really ideally love to see folks when they're pregnant and then continue to take care of them throughout the postpartum period.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I also like this narrative around this rush to bounce back at 6 weeks. Like, we got to drop that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just because it's medically safe to have intercourse does not mean that someone is physically or emotionally ready to get back to that activity. Yeah. And we think about like all the changes that happen in a woman's body when she's pregnant and then what happens during childbirth. You know, it's great for people to have goals of getting back to exercise, running, weight, you know, whatever they might want to do. But it takes time for the body to heal, and we need to help support women in that process. And then to answer that last piece, like, no, it's never too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, is it ideal to do it soon after you have a baby? Yes. You know, it's an overwhelming time period and you've got a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that whenever you feel ready to prioritize that in your health, like, that's when we want to see you, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. I totally wanted to ask this because you put it on your guest form. Men have pelvic floors too.
They do.
What kinds of pelvic floor problems do men experience, and why do you think there's so much less awareness, talk, conversation around male pelvic health? I mean, we're kind of hearing like it's kind of just now starting to crack through for, you know, women, people assigned female at birth, so like the conversation for the men is coming even later. So what's kind of your thoughts?
So this is one area where men might even be served less than women in being able to deal with some of these pelvic health problems. So we touched a little bit on this earlier. Chronic prostatitis is even now being sort of renamed chronic pelvic pain syndrome. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's a type of prostatitis where there is an infection that needs to be treated, but a lot of times it's more of either like a pelvic floor issue or like a back or a hip issue being referred to the pelvic floor. So we can definitely help with that. Also, erectile unpredictability can sometimes be a pelvic floor issue. Now, obviously, there are a lot of different things that can contribute to a problem like that, but pelvic floor dysfunction is one of them. Mm. And then also supporting men around prostate procedures. So after prostatectomy or some of the other procedures that men might have surgically around the prostate area, a lot of times they're dealing with incontinence and issues like that, and pelvic floor therapy is usually pretty effective at helping out with that.
Cool.
Awesome. one of the things that I've learned just in like having some shared clients who are working with y'all is how much breath work is valuable in that part of the equation. I'm wondering just, you know, how much does stress, anxiety, the way that we're breathing maybe impact how we're holding tension and clenching in ways we may not even realize we're doing throughout the day.
I mean, I feel like really this is what I can't shut up about. I talk about this all the time. I mean, first, I think it's important to sort of like zoom out. And when we talk about breath work, people have been studying breath work for thousands of years.
Yes.
And there's like,
it's not new.
Yeah, there's so many different techniques and ways that you can use the breath as a tool. So depending on what you're trying to accomplish, you might help people breathe with different techniques. So like through a pelvic floor lens, often I'm thinking about from a nervous system standpoint for my patients who do have pelvic floor muscles that are on the tight side and their whole bodies are tight and tense. We can use the diaphragmatic breathing as a way to like relax and like stimulate the vagus nerve and create that shift in the parasympathetic nervous system. But also circling back around to like, how's the pelvic floor connected? When we talk about our core, yes, our abdominal muscles and our back muscles, but then our pelvic floor from below and our diaphragm from above are also part of that core stability system. And it's a pressure system. And I won't get into the weeds and like bore everybody with all the details. But when you do practice diaphragmatic breathing, your pelvic floor should be sort of like moving along with that. So if you have a pelvic floor that's really tight and you're working on that diaphragmatic breathing, it can actually help relax the pelvic floor. And if you have a pelvic floor that's really weak and you're trying to get the pelvic floor activated, maybe for when you go to lift something heavy or if you're jumping, we can coordinate the breathing with the pelvic floor to also facilitate a contraction.
Wow.
So we do a lot of breath work. And again, just depending on what we're trying to accomplish, that might look a little different. Yeah.
And I also just want to plug like your Instagram spiritual life coach girly who did a 3-hour breathwork training, like may have some useful tools, but if you are dealing specifically with pelvic floor issues, probably you're going to be best served with
a therapist,
someone who can do breathwork within a greater context of information and expertise.
Right? And I try, you know, I feel like people can get really anxious about breath work too. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it the right way?
Yes.
And so again, helping people understand it's a tool, it's a skill, and that we can use it in lots of different ways. It doesn't have to be perfect. It can be something that we're just working on and learning how to use to help our bodies out.
So cool. Okay. If someone listening is thinking, okay, I feel like I have some of these symptoms, I feel like this is lining up for me, but I'm just kind of living with them, what would you want them to know? I know we've talked, you know, like just go, but what are the signs that it's time to maybe talk to a pelvic floor physical therapist, and or what can someone expect when they walk into that first appointment? I think most of that's what the scaries are, is what is this even going to look like?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes like just showing up the first day is like the hardest step.
Oh, as a therapist, every single intake session, I'm like, thanks for being here. You arguably did the hardest part by showing up the first time. Now it's easier.
Exactly. So I think about like that continuum of like behavior change from like, oh, I don't know, I have a problem to, oh, I have a problem. And you're like contemplating, do you want to take action? That's what a time when you can really inform yourself and start to learn about the different practices that are out there and like what might be a good fit for you and maybe call some front desk offices. I think I just want everybody to know that like pelvic floor therapists are some of the like nicest, most caring people that you meet. And so they are going to go out of their way to help you feel as comfortable as possible when you walk in that door. It's a lot different than regular physical therapy. You know, like a lot of people think they're going to like walk into this huge gym space and they're like, oh my God, and then what am I going to be talking about? I'm like, what's going to happen? So like at our clinic, we've been really intentional about creating like a comfortable, calm, nurturing space. So all private treatment rooms, chill music. It's almost like a boutique spa environment because we want people to feel safe and comfortable, and we know it's really vulnerable to come in and share some of these experiences that they're dealing with and maybe have a pelvic exam.
So. And I have to give y'all a shout out because if folks are in the Nashville area, Nashville Pelvic Health, we have had people, like I'm thinking of one of my people who has known for years that she needed to do this, but also had like known some people that did not have great experiences where they lived. So was like really scared about doing it. Finally got her there. And not only just the vibe, the feel you're describing of the space being like very, you know, cozy and non-sterile, but also just the level of trauma-informed training that y'all practice. She said, and this is someone with a lot of trauma, she's like, I've never had a medical experience that has been so trauma-informed before in my life. It has been like transformative for her. So we just, I'm like, the proof is in the pudding, you guys.
In the pud, y'all.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, we are intentional about that, so it's really good to hear that feedback. Mm.
Yay. Well, take us out, Jen.
Okay.
But for real.
But for real, these problems are common, but they're not normal. Mm. So if it's something that you're thinking about, just reach out to a pelvic floor therapist, do a consult, and get the help that is out there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Love it. Okay, and now it's time for our musical segment. Now that's what I call, okay. When we have a guest, we just feature our guest song. And we would love, before we do a little live watch, y'all can find the song on the playlist. It is Undone by Weezer. But before we do a little live watch and then reaction, tell us what made you choose this song today.
I mean, I didn't give it like a ton of thought, but I heard this song in the car a couple months ago with my kids. And I had to roll down the windows and like sing at the top of my lungs. I've had a little bit of a challenging year the past year, and I think, like, there's something about this song. It's like you're unraveling, and sometimes you can see it in real time, and you're like, well, I'm just going to have to let this cycle complete itself, and then I'll put myself back together. Ooh. And it's also just, like, a great, like, scream in the car song if you just need to, like, discharge some energy.
Ooh. Amen. All right, let's give it a watch. The other thing that I thought of with Undone is, like, you know, this idea of, like, you pull one thread and the whole thing unravels. Like, pelvic floor, everything is connected, baby.
That's where I am.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Thanks, girls. Full You're circle. Doing a great job.
Thanks, girls.
Okay.
Okay, let's do our dumpster fire phoenix, where we go dumpster diving for some good news because it's just dark out there. Yeah. Sometimes we go global, sometimes we go personal. So, Val, what's your good news to share?
Okay, mine is courtesy of my unproductive scrolling time a couple days ago. And I discovered this reel that went viral last week. This woman, Heidi, her Instagram is at OMG. It's Heidi with three I's. She seems to be sort of like a, like, wellness sort of lifestyle content creator, but I think she's also a teacher. Okay. She, I think, lives in LA now, sort of reinventing herself. And this video, I mean, it was so raw and just like the kind of thing, like, you can't not cry watching this, where she was sort of like, oh my God, I'm such an asshole. Like, I realized that this apartment I moved into and this weird bowling ball sound I was hearing in the floor above me, like, I was irritated. I was recording it, whatever. But then I see this, like, very elderly woman struggling to come down the stairs. She's shaking so bad. Her recycling goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Heidi is like, oh, my God, I got you. So it turns out that her upstairs neighbor is this woman named Carol with an E. And Carol is 85, has Parkinson's, has no family, has been alone for years, and basically leaves her place once a month. A friend from her Buddhist temple comes and picks her up to take her. And she doesn't really want to go more than that. She's lived there for a very long time. But Heidi is like, the place is in pretty disarray. She is not able to cook for herself after being diagnosed with Parkinson's 6-7 years ago. And so Heidi's gonna like cook for her once or twice a week, like a homemade meal, and work on like slowly tackling the cleaning. And of course, the internet is fucking here for it. And everyone's like, how do we GoFundMe? I will fly out and help you clean. Like, it's just very sweet when you see people coming together. Like, this is the kind of thing we want to go viral. And
yes,
she has since shared a few little update videos. She's calling her grandma Carol. And she's like, you know, you're my granddaughter. I'm like, I'm obsessed with this.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
People being good to each other.
People being good. We need more of this.
What's your good news?
My good news is that I've been off / like just working virtually at a very compressed schedule. So I just feel like I have so much gratitude for like taking a little bit of a break, having so much quality time with my family, my friends, my partner. I feel like I just like got like a summer break, which
a little sabbatical.
A little sabbatical, you know? And like everyone was fine and no one was like, I hate you. As a person and a therapist and a colleague. So yeah, I feel very good, refreshed, loving. I'm so excited to get back to the office and see my people. Just like I'm rocking with a lot of like quality time, gratitude, all of the above. Yes. Feels nice.
Yeah, I love that.
I have a nice like perspective shift, which is always good. Good for the soul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay, and now we are going to end with our rapid fire Q&A. Okay. Pew, pew, pew. And my first question for you, Jen, is why do you love breaking people's noses so much?
Oh my gosh. Okay, the backstory is that maybe in high school, I may or may not have broken Valerie's husband's sister's nose in a cheerleading stunt. Oh my
God. Which we didn't really put together until relatively recently.
Yes.
Pretty funny. Okay, my real first question for you is, what's something that instantly makes you feel like you have your life together, even when you absolutely do not?
Having a clean house.
Ooh. Yes. That's a great one. What's your current completely unnecessary obsession?
How much Asheville loves dogs.
If for some reason, as of tomorrow, you could no longer do your current job, what completely random career would you want to try?
Travel blogger.
Oh, I'm knocking off the tongue, honey. What reality show would you most likely thrive on?
Okay, so I don't watch a lot of reality shows, but my favorite one is Alone. Ooh. Did you guys ever watch Alone? No. It was like my pandemic show.
Ooh. I need to watch this.
It's like a survivor show, but they're like really out there by themselves.
In the wilderness.
Yeah. They're and alone. So it was like COVID, and I was like eating my pizza by myself, but I was like, well, at least I'm not that alone. And like eating slugs for dinner.
No. Yeah, that's rough. Okay, and what's a trend you hope never comes back?
Ooh, parachute pants? I don't know.
You know, I love a parachute pant. So we're going to just rival you on this trend. We're going to show up to the 2 years from now. We're going to do a part pants. 2, and we're going to be wearing our parachute pants.
Very MC Hammer.
Jen, thank you so much for doing this. It was so much fun.
Yes, thank you for having me and for being advocates for pelvic floor therapy and helping raise awareness. It's really awesome.
Amazing.
Yay. See you next time.
This has been another episode of But For Real, hosted by Valerie Martin and Emerson Ryder, and edited by Volt Productions. But For Real is produced by the Gaia Center for Embodied Healing. The Gaia Center offers individual, couples, and group therapy for clients across Tennessee and in person in our Nashville office, as well as coaching and other programs for clients worldwide. For show notes or to learn more about our work, visit GaiaCenter.co or find us on Instagram at the Gaia Center and at But For Real Pod. But For Real is intended for education and entertainment and is not a substitute for mental health treatment. Also, since we host this podcast primarily as humans rather than clinicians, we are not shy about sharing our opinions here on everything from snacks and movies to politicians and social issues. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. See you next time, bestie.